I ascended to adulthood at cruising altitude. The takeoff was bumpy, and my braided pigtails, each with its own silk red ribbon, bobbed around the sides of my 7-year-old face. In my lap sat my favorite doll, ladylike in her frilly dress. Her eyes, with her long lashes, flicked open and closed with the turbulence. Her legs were snapped into my seatbelt, so I knew she was safe. Next to me, Mama was slumped over into herself, her dress wrapped around her, her arms guarding her midsection, her face folded into her chest. I had never seen her like that before. Minutes before, the flight attendant with the fake eyelashes and the drawn eyebrows and the tomato lips bent over me and asked if Mama had her seatbelt on. "Mama," I squeaked, poking her side. Mama made no response. "Make sure her seatbelt is on," said the red lips lined with a darker red. "Mama," I ventured again. Nothing. I saw her buckle it earlier. "Really?" The eyebrows went up. Sometimes Darren, the big people, the grown-ups, didn't believe little kids like me. "Yeah." She stared at me for the longest second of my short life. Finally, she moved down the aisle, the only witness to my first lie. Mama always suffered from horrible motion sickness. It didn't matter how we traveled. Once when we took the bus to Baoding, she threw up the entire trip, making animal sounds. It smelled so bad that another lady on the bus started throwing up and making the same sounds, and soon the smell and sounds were all around me. The only difference was that, that time, Lala, Grandma, was with us, and it wasn't just me and Mama alone in a Feiji, a flying machine, going to a different country. And I didn't have to make sure Mama was wearing a seatbelt or lie about it, because Lala was the one who did it. The seatbelt part, at least. I didn't know if Lalo ever had to lie for Mama. I was not happy about being in the flying machine. I had turned 7 just 5 days before, and a few weeks before that, Da Jojo, the older of Mama's 2 younger brothers, had gotten me my very first bike. It was white with pink tassels on the handlebars and flowers on the basket. He said he would teach me to ride it, but then he had to travel for work, so I spent my time walking the pretty bike around the courtyard of Lalao's building. "What a pretty bike," a passing Darren said. "Xiexie." "The tassels match your dress," another remarked. "Xiexie," I said again, resisting the urge to yank at the frilly lace dress Mama had forced on me. Now, the bike was in Lalao's storage unit, waiting for my return. "Mama," I poked at her side again. "When will we go back?" A grunt came, but nothing else. We found out that we would be leaving just a few weeks before my birthday. Baba had left for Meiguo, America, 2 years earlier, and Mama had been trying to get a visitor's visa for almost a year. 4 times, Mama left her home and traveled hours away to Beijing, where the embassy for Meiguo, a name that translated literally into beautiful country, kept telling her no. Dai, Mama's older sister, lived in Beijing, and every time Mama went to get another no, she stayed overnight with her, leaving me with Lala and Laoye, Grandpa. Each time I had trouble sleeping, crying tsunamis into Lala's arms. What if she doesn't come back, like Baba? The last time, I threw such a fit that Mama took me to Beijing with her. In the morning, as she was preparing to leave for the embassy from Dai's, I burst into tears again. "Why not take her?" Dai was always on my side. Mama stared at my swollen red face and shook her head. "She'll cry." "That might be good," brokered my ally. "She's cute."